Hey everybody, look, we're still alive. Not even hungover.
Barely.
Really?
Sleepy.
I didn't have too hard of a time, actually.
I went for a ride today too.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were out for a while.
I took the Buell out, yeah. Fucking had fun. It's kinda hot.
Well,
kinda hot
yeah.
out there.
It's gonna
but
be hot.
Traffic was good.
So. Yeah, it's Sunday, and it's Labor Day weekend too, so like a lot of people are off tomorrow. So
yeah.
I guess a lot of people are just kinda like
I got tired of it though. I came back.
You got tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I started getting sleepy again.
Yeah, it's weird. Like as much as I drank last night, we didn't eat a great deal yesterday.
No.
So, but I didn't really get all that fucked up. So after we recorded the show last night, we did that 4-hour fucking show, almost 4 hours on Howard Hughes.
Yeah,
I was very happy with how that show turned out. I was like, wow, it was a 4-hour show, and I think we talked about Howard Hughes for about 90% of the show.
I think so. Yeah,
that's really unlike us. I'm so proud of us.
We need to do some more paranormal shit, though. We haven't done any paranormal shit in a while.
Well,
just saying.
I'm not going to say, like, if you guys are patrons, you already know what next week's shit is going to be. I guess that's sort of paranormal.
I forgot what it was. I
figured.
We saw a documentary last night about Charles Bronson.
Yeah, so after the show, I was still a little bit drunk, but it wasn't that late. It was only like 8:30 or something. So I was like, well, we should watch something new, to review for the matinee on Sunday. And I was like, I don't know if I can stay awake for a whole entire movie.
Yeah.
But I was going through the new shit on Tubi, like the 2020 stuff, and I was like, hey, look at this. There's an hour-long documentary about Charles Bronson, which came out this year. Let's watch that, because it's, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's relevant to our interests.
I liked Bronson. Bronson was all right. You know what I mean? Fucking, kind of what stood out about him, and they got into the documentary, is that he had a good amount of physicality. When I was a kid, I was first introduced to him probably like something out of fucking Death Wish fucking 2 or 3. You know what I mean?
And he was in his 50s by then.
70s. I think he was.
Well, he was in his 70s for Death Wish 2 or Death Wish 3.
Yeah.
No, because they made 5 of those fucking things.
Yeah.
I think. Death Wish 5 was maybe the last one that he...
He was quite old. He didn't get famous in the United States until he was about 50.
Yeah.
Actually, over 50. He probably
I think
it
was 52, 53. 50,
yeah, right.
I think when he was in Death Wish.
That's when he became famous. But he had been working in Hollywood since he was real young. But he got famous in Italy.
In Europe,
in
Europe, like
Italy,
all over
France,
in France
all over
and stuff, yeah. And in fact, he was one of the top draws, like, around the world.
Yeah.
And he wasn't unknown in the U.S. for a long time, but he was, like, kind of seen as, like, a... He was just had bit parts. He was like stuff on TV, shit like that.
Yeah. So
crazy.
When I was a kid, I first saw him in these fucking crazy Death Wish sequels. You know, they were fucking ridiculous, but they were supposed to be. That's what they're at that point. Death Wish was kind of just an action joke. You know, it was kind of like a Chuck Norris movie.
Yeah.
They weren't supposed to be realistic, And to me, he was just some kind of crazy old dude, I didn't realize that even at 50, he was almost kind of like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of his time.
I didn't realize he was that, because they showed like a lot of his really early film roles. He played Indians a lot, because I guess he was Lithuanian, like his parents were Lithuanian immigrants.
He also had a funny voice. He had kind of a funny accent.
When I looked at his Wikipedia page, he didn't actually learn to speak English until he was a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, he spoke Lithuanian and Russian at home.
Yeah, and he was a war veteran. He went to World War II, and that kind of opened his eyes. He came from just a little coal mining town, first,
Pennsylvania,
and he grew up rough,
Yeah, he worked in a coal mine starting when he was 10.
But looking at him, he was an early bodybuilder.
I know. I didn't realize that he was that buff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they showed some of his early roles, like he'd always play Indians, and it's like, I was like, wow, holy, so he was always like in loincloths and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I guess he looked exotic.
And then, and we're talking, this is before the golden age of bodybuilding and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Muscle Beach of the 70s. This is a long time before, by about a decade.
Yeah.
And he was in fucking good shape. He had good muscle definition, pretty good mass. He's not a big guy. Like I said before, people assume that he's tall. He's not. It says right in there that he was actually short and stocky.
Yeah.
But they put him in right boots and they shot it the right way to make him look a little bigger than he was. But he's not a big guy. I think he might be an inch taller than me, maybe.
Yeah, he was 5'6", 5'7", something like that.
Okay, so
it was
about the same size, around my size. But, and he was kind of tough. They said he was, you know, if you wronged him, you know what I mean? He's the kind of guy who would fucking hit you. They said he was difficult to deal with sometimes on the set because he was just so fucking gruff with people and stuff.
He was real introverted.
Yeah.
And he didn't like to say a lot. Although Sergio Leone said that he was his favorite actor to work with.
Yeah, well, he was real professional. That was...
Yeah, like, you know, and he would kind of, like, you know, do what... Even though he was real quiet and,
he had a lot of discipline, and if you fucking were fucking off or he thought you were taking too long, he'd tell you. He says, you need to hurry the fuck up. You know? He had a military background. Yeah. So, you know, it was just...
I feel that.
You guys need to hurry the fuck up. I ain't gonna be on a set all fucking day. Fix that shit. That's the way he was, you know? But it was a pretty good... It was on Tubi, right?
Yeah.
On Tubi, yeah.
And it just came out this year. And like I said, it's only 54 minutes long. Yeah. It's like, I didn't know a great deal. I mean, I knew that he had done some acting prior to Death Wish because I knew he was old. I didn't realize he was in his 50s when Death Wish came out and he got famous in the United States. But I didn't realize the extent to which he was like super well known in Europe and even in Asia. Like, he was easily one of the largest, like, box office draws, like, around the world, except in the U.S. Like, he was making, like, $1 million a movie. He kind of went a similar route to Clint Eastwood, I guess, because Clint Eastwood kind of got famous in Italian, like, spaghetti westerns. Yeah. Interestingly, Charles Bronson was offered several of those roles. He was offered The Man with No Name, and he turned it down. Good. He didn't like the script.
Dumbass.
I know.
Dumbass.
They even like let him, they asked him to be in for A Fistful of Dollars. They asked him to be in for A Few Dollars More, and he's like, nah, I don't like it.
He didn't. But he came back for what is it? He did that Leone flick. I have it.
Yeah.
Greatest Story Ever Told. Upon a Time in the West. Yeah, Upon a Time in the West.
The Greatest Story Ever Told was that Jesus.
That's right. Fucking that was woo. I don't know if, was he in the one with the fucking Fistful of Dynamite? Was he in that? I don't remember.
Fistful of Dynamite.
Yeah. You know Fistful of Dynamite?
Yeah.
It was a Louis Leone flick. It was kind of like Fistful of Dollars, but it had a dude with a prototype fucking motorcycle, like from the very early 1900s.
Oh, okay. I know.
And they had some dynamite and shit, and fucking they were blowing shit up. I have to see.
Well, you better.
I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. My favorite Bronson movie is one called Red Sun, where he plays a...
Yeah, that was a French-Italian...
Yeah, that was a really good movie. Italian
co-production.
No, it had Japan. It was part Japanese.
Yeah, it was that too.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, I think it was France, Italy, France? Japan. Yeah.
Okay. And he plays a bank robber that gets involved with these fucking samurai that are down towards the fucking Mexican border and shit. And they lose the imperial sword. It was a gift to the president from the emperor, president of the United States. So, Bronson and this samurai, who's a famous Japanese actor, he's one of the guys from Tora. I don't remember his name, but he was in a lot of stuff. I think he was even in Shogun, I think, that movie.
Oh, yeah. The series?
The series Shogun.
Yeah.
I think he was in that.
Holy shit, I'm
They go out, fucking out in the Badlands to try to get that sword back. And a lot of fucking weird shit happens. Had Ursula Andrews' hot ass in it. Fucking, she's out.
She did have a hot ass.
Yeah, she fucking hot. She was in it. But I want to get that shit on Blu-ray. Red Sun. That's the one I really recommend.
Fistful of Dynamite had James Coburn in it.
James Coburn, that's right.
And Dom.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I'd really recommend Red Sun. I think that's one of his best ones. Now, the documentary, it did have a part that I didn't really kind of agree with, and they kind of started to fucking use a bunch of political buzzwords that I didn't like shit like fascism and fucking, they were fucking talking about fucking, what is it, reactionary Republicans and stuff having to do with Death Wish. And then they said, well, Death Wish ended up, in a way, destroying his acting career.
Well, he got typecast.
He got typecast by it, and ended up kind of destroying his career. But you know what? That's a matter of opinion. He was already old by the time he did Death Wish.
Yeah, like I said, he was 52 or 53.
Yeah, and he had been working for a long time in Hollywood and made a lot of successful movies. Death Wish was a huge hit. He was already starting to age out, though. Let's be honest. Yeah. Okay.
Although...
And then he was able to score a bunch of movies, canon flicks.
Yeah, canon worked with him for a really long time. Gave him a shit ton of money. He was one of their big
draws. One of their big draws. Yeah. And so then he worked for canon and for the final few decades of his life, which was much better than the average motherfucker of his age would have been able to do at that time.
Yeah.
So did Death Wish destroy his career? If you want to look at it from the point of view of like a fucking thespian,
well, maybe. From an artistic point of view, like, because he did say that it's like, you know, this the only types of roles he gets are like vigilantes and like cops he was just on the wrong side of the law and shit like that because of his rumpled appearance.
He looked,
that was kind of like the only parts he was given, which I get that that's kind of a bummer, like, if you want to do different things.
He wanted to be more than that, but there's just no way that was going to happen at his age and after that fucking movie and the movies that he had. He'd played in The Mechanic as an assassin and all kinds of stuff. That's the path he was headed down.
Yeah, he did a bunch of movies with Michael Winner. Well, Michael Winner did Death Wish, but he did a bunch of other ones.
I didn't quite agree with the statements that this particular documentary, the way they tried to characterize it. The way I characterize it is that he had an exceptionally long film life for an action hero.
Yeah.
Exceptionally long. In his 70s, he's making these Death Wish fucking movies. All right. Which is... That's up there with Stallone, all right? And Stallone's one of the most longest-lived action stars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's he's like a Stallone, if you ask me. Proto-Stallone. And a proto-Arnold, too.
Yeah,
although you could say Stallone was just as physical as Arnold, though.
Yeah.
But it's like that.
Like I said, I never realized until they showed some of his early roles where he was like riding horses and shit like that, like how fucking buff he was.
Yeah.
That's why he was always, he either played an Indian or he played like a criminal.
Yeah.
Or later on, he just always played vigilantes.
Well, he made a great Indian because you could put him in a loincloth like they did.
Yeah.
And he looked fucking great. Even at 50, running around. Basically fucking nude with a damn loincloth on. He had fucking big upper body and fucking legs and shit. And he's really jumping around on those rocks. I mean, his physicality was, for the era of the 60s, exceptional.
Yeah.
Exceptional.
And he had such a great face. Like, and when he was younger, too. And I think that's kind of what, even, I don't remember if it was Sergio Leone, but somebody said the reason that he was so famous in Europe for decades before he was even, like, a big star in the United States was that in Europe, they're more interested. They said we're more interested in character and not faces, whereas, like, in the U.S., it's more, like, what you look like. Mm. But they really loved, like, his... They said the great thing about him is that he doesn't have to say anything. Like, he just has this great presence and these, like, eyes. It's like he can just stand there. He's, like, really intense. And it's just, like, this... He just, like, exudes this kind of, like, intensity. And a lot of, like, filmmakers really, really liked that.
Somebody's asking you to check your messages. It's about Bronson. But I don't think we can. We're not online.
Well, just I will. I'll go over here in a minute and do it.
The another thing that was interesting about the documentary is that Bronson tried some prototype metrosexuality type shit, which I didn't know about.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
In Japan, he was... He got all this fucking money to do these commercials for this fucking fragrance and men's underarm deodorant type shit. And they showed the fucking, the commercial. The commercial was awesome. He comes in and fucking dances around and takes his shirt off and looks at himself in the mirror all macho and putting on his deodorant and splashing all his fucking fragrance all over himself. And it's just like, I bet that motherfucker smells good. That's what you're thinking, you know, but he's... And yeah, it was a pretty cool commercial, which I was way ahead of his time. And then in the movie Mechanic, Bronson was going to, the way he was going to do it, is they were going to make this, the mechanic was about this assassin, all right?
Yeah.
And this assassin, part of the side story of this assassin is that he was gay.
Yeah.
And that he was in this relationship with, who was that actor? He was the dude from Airwolf, wasn't it?
I can't remember his name. He was quite a bit younger.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his name was.
And he was famous too.
Yeah.
And they were going to have like a fucking, a gay story in the middle of this fucking ultra macho story about this fucking assassin. And it wasn't going to be like, they weren't going to portray it as anything fucking like, I don't know. It was just going to be something that was just like fucking for the time, pretty fucking out there.
Yeah.
You know, but they edited it from the film. So at least in the U.S.,
I'm not sure if they edited in Europe, because they were a lot more tolerant of that type of thing.
I'd have to say that that was for the American audience at that time. The right thing to do is to edit that out.
Yeah, because everyone would have had
They would have went, oh, fuck that. And then they would have said, Charles Bronson's gay. You know, only a gay dude would do that fucking role.
It would have been a big thing.
So I think it was best
that they... Because we just have to make a big thing out of everything.
That's what it would have been back then. Back in the 70s, this shit was fucking... Back in the 70s, masculinity had to be clearly defined. Whether you were straight or gay, there was no gray. It was black and white. It was like an allegiance to an army. You know, you were either a loyalist or a fucking traitor. That's the way they looked at it back then. So I think it was the good thing that they edited it out. Although what would be interesting is if they were to fucking sell that shit on Blu-ray and have both edits.
I wonder if they
That'd be awesome. I'd like to see both edits.
I would as well. Because I'm pretty sure that like the European version still had that. I don't think it was super overt. I think it was just kind of like...
Yeah, it wasn't going to be love scenes or anything. They were just going to fucking let you know that it was like a prison type situation. That the motherfucker was so macho that women were too weak for him. You know what I mean? It's just like, nah. It's like male supremacy, I think is what they were going to go for.
Mark said, every now and then you got to wax your balls. True. Oracle says, has anybody mentioned Bronson's Twilight Zone episode yet?
He had several of them.
He was in one that was kind of, I can't remember which one it was, but he was in one. I remember him being in House of Wax, you know, the really old one.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a small part. Dave Altman says, Rush Hour with Jackie Chan is a remake of Red Sun. I was not aware of that, but now I am. So yeah, thank you for
that. I think that was his best movie.
Somebody up here mentioned Mr. Majestic. I really like that movie as well. I haven't seen that in a really long time. It was two with Elizabeth Montgomery, your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, my girlfriend. Her and Barbara Eden. They're both my girlfriend. Me, Elizabeth Montgomery, and Barbara Eden.
See, I get the two of those confused because they look kind of similar.
Yeah, they were different responses for the same character by two different fucking television networks.
Yeah, I guess.
They saw I Dream of Jeannie and they're like, oh, we got to have a response to that.
It's so like, can we have instead of Jeannie, let's just have a witch instead. It's kind of similar.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I mixed those two.
Those were great shows, though.
Liked those shows. I liked Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie. I used to love the inside of Jeannie's bottle. Like, it was all like the big pillow, her little apartment in there. I'm like, man, I want a room that looks like that.
I was just into that fucking outfit that she wore. I was like, even as a kid, I'm just fucking just sitting there drooling.
Like, watching the boobs.
I was looking at that cleavage. Like, I wish that was pulled down just a little bit further. And then they had to give her a special belt to cover up her belly button because they couldn't show any belly buttons on fucking network
television.
Isn't
that crazy?
Isn't that weird?
You can't show everybody's got belly buttons.
They had some kind of a fucking thing. If you could see the belly button, the pants were too low. So they had a fucking special belt that went around it that went up. They covered it. They didn't like any of that hip hugger action. They thought that shit was this shit was too dirty.
Yeah, fucking sluts, man.
I know.
I was when I was a little kid, probably 8, 9, 10, something like that. I had I dressed up like Jeannie for Halloween. My mom made it.
Yeah,
it was super pretty.
Yeah,
I had the little top and the little. She made me some little pants that were all like fucking net and everything. Yeah. It was nice.
Both of those shows were good though.
Yeah. Of course, I'm going to go watch them now, and they're probably like...
They're probably corny now.
Well, I'm sure they're corny. They were corny then.
Yeah.
But they might be
Dr. Bombay. Calling Dr. Bombay.
They might be fun to watch, like, one night when we're, like, really fucked
up. Hey, every gay dude from Los Angeles was in her family fucking coming back from the... Remember that? All the warlocks were basically gay. Dr. Bombay.
Well,
he wasn't really gay, but he kind of seemed like it. But then definitely Uncle Arthur.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, what's his name? Fucking, that dude, he was awesome. What's his name? One from Hollywood Squares.
Paul Lind.
Paul Lind.
That's right. I love Paul
Lind. You want to get Paul Lind drunk,
he was so bitchy.
That motherfucking...
He was fucking hilarious.
If he'd be drunk on the Hollywood Squares fucking saying all kinds of crazy shit, and they were fucking... They couldn't censor it very well back then. It would make it through.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I said, I think live shows were on a delay, but it wasn't very long. Only like a couple of seconds. And he had to be really quick on like.
He'd say some crazy shit, and it would slip out. It would slip through. You know what I mean? Because you had to kind of be kind of clever to understand what he said. It might take a few minutes for it to sink in that he was talking about giving head or.
Well, see, that's what was genius about him is that he could say stuff in such a way that it didn't sound dirty until you thought about it for a couple of seconds, then it was too late.
Yeah. And then the fucking audience would be fucking just busting up, man. 70s was a good time. It was a real good time.
Everything was like innuendo.
Yeah, it was all innuendo.
You remember that fucking...
They were a lot wilder, and there was no such thing as political correctness. They didn't give a shit.
Game show that where they had couples on there and they asked, what the fuck? The Newlywed Game.
The Newlyweds, They said all kinds of crazy
shit. Every single one of those questions was a sexual innuendo.
Yeah, yeah.
Dominic asked, did you guys finish off The Stand? We did. We finished watching it.
Yeah,
that was like so much better than I remembered.
Yeah. It looked a lot better than it looked the copy that I saw.
Yeah, because like I said, we just kind of saw the fucking TV. That was like I said, next time we'll have to watch Rose Red because I want to see that again.
I want to see the TV version of
The Shining
now. Yeah,
I can't remember where we watched that because we watched it probably 3 or 4 years ago, and I remember because we sat we stayed up all night and watched it like in one go.
Yeah,
but I can't remember where we saw it at.
And man, I'd buy it actually.
Yeah,
I liked it enough. You didn't like it.
I don't love it. I just feel it's not terrible. It's just I bet you
good Blu-ray edition they could probably clean that thing up and it'd probably look a lot better.
I don't know if they clean it up too much, it might look even shittier because like the makeup on the ghosts and stuff like that was really not.
They can work wonders with fucking some of this digital stuff.
That's
they could
true.
Change the tones. I mean, you'd and really make everything have to look like, make it look a lot better. You gotta remember, we saw it on the television CRTV format.
Yeah.
You could reformat that for digital and fucking do all kinds of computer enhancements and probably get that thing to look really good.
Yeah, probably.
Because look how much better The Stand looked. I saw the other version of The Stand that was the television version for CRT, and it looked like shit on YouTube.
Yeah.
This looked a lot better.
It did, like I said.
They did some work on that.
I was surprised.
It looked like a movie, kind of.
The Stand remake is coming out December 17th, 2020. We'll see how that goes.
We'll see.
And like I said, I think I mentioned this on the show last night, just kind of apropos of nothing, but Netflix is doing Haunting of Bly Manor, the second season of Haunting of Hill House, except this is based on Turn of the Screw. That's coming out October 9th. I saw the trailer and it looks really good. I just saw the trailer like yesterday. So I'm very, very, very excited about it. So, this is a free documentary on Tubi. Like I said, it's only 54 minutes long. I found out a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't know about Charles Bronson, and it was actually really interesting. Now, they mentioned that he'd grown up poor and that his parents were Lithuanian and stuff. But they didn't mention, I looked up on Wikipedia, like I said, they didn't mention that he had had to work in a coal mine from when he was 10 years old because his family were so poor. They had like 15 kids or something.
Deborah's talking about how it was crazy how great Barbara Eden looked without any plastic surgery. I kind of suspect she wasn't fully natural.
I think people got it back then, but people weren't open about it. Yeah. Kept it secret.
That looks like a nose job. The bridge of her nose, that's very rare. And it has the indentation that goes in. Disney loves that. You know, they recruit all the Disney princess girls. You have to have that profile. If you don't have it, you know, unless you're one of the one of the more ethnic characters, you know, like the fucking Indian girls. And, you know, what was her name? What was the Indian princess?
Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, yeah.
Pocahontas.
They go for certain ethnic looks, but if you're a Caucasian cartoon character, you have to have that fucking look that Barbara Eden had. And it's this weird... They even have the ratio numbered. She told me what it was. There's this fucking ratio that they have to do for forehead to indentation and then the length of the nose. There's a number.
Because you have to look as much like the cartoon counterpart as possible.
As possible. And Barbara Eden, her profile is that Disney cartoon profile.
Yeah.
That's what that is. And
which could be natural, but...
And a lot of times it isn't.
I don't see too many people who look like that naturally.
And I'm pretty sure Barbara Eden had silicone implants. Back in those days, though, they didn't always do it by putting an implant in and filling it up with silicone. A lot of times it was something called infusion. They just take a damn IV bag with silicone in it and stick a damn needle right into your fucking tit and just let that shit fill up.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show last night a little bit.
Right. I was talking about the controversy behind silicone infusion. In South America, it's still very common to this day. And a lot of surgeons think that that's actually the best way to do it. You just have to be careful that it has to be completely sterile medical grade silicone. Or if it's industrial grade silicone, it's very cheap and it's been stored in fucking dirty containers. And you could get a real bad infection. It could theoretically kill you.
Well, yeah, because you don't know what the hell you're injecting.
You're not really sure, and you don't know how pure it is, and you don't know where it's been. Although, you know, these are street girls that are doing this. They'll fucking take the shit and put it in a clean pot and heat it up to about 400 degrees and try to kill all the bacteria.
Yeah, it's like, I'll just boil it.
Well, it doesn't really boil. It just gets hot, you know. And then they fucking try to filter it and hope that there isn't any kind of industrial solvents in there. It's risky to do it that way.
Yeah.
But the difference in medical grade silicone and service grade silicone is about 1,000 times. In other words, you know what I mean? Fucking a gallon of fucking industrial silicone is fucking 50 cents.
Yeah.
Versus $500, you know, for medical shit. So, you know, these are girls down the favela trying to do this shit. But that's enough of the fucking silicone implants.
Yeah, Dominic asked, did I notice all the horror film director cameos in The Stand? I did indeed. Tom was like, he's like, who the fuck was that? I'm like, hey, look, it's John Landis. Hey,
yeah,
look,
I don't know who these people are.
Mick Garris. Well, Mick Garris directed it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was, I think Sam Raimi was in there too somewhere.
Yeah, I recognized him.
Yeah, he was in there, like, he was just in one scene, like in a diner or something like that. But yeah, I did see that. I thought that was kind of cool that they stuck all that. I had completely forgotten that that was in there. So, yeah. Tammy says, excuse me while I go boil my boobs. All right. So I guess we've talked enough about that. Probably we'll be back streaming tomorrow. Probably be another new movie if I can find another one worth watching. So thanks everybody for dropping by, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow. Mm-hmm.